First Baptist Church of Redmond, February 28, 2016. Guest speaker, Daniel Johnston. Bland Salt.
Nowadays, we are surrounded by a very evil world. You hardly see anyone doing anything that would be considered Christ-like. So why is it so popular that Christians are abnormal? In a recent ABC poll, 83% of Americans identify themselves as Christians. Now, the reason we never see these people is doing good things is the majority of them are not truly Christian. But it makes you ask yourself, how do people see me? Do they see me as someone who is doing Christ-like things, or is they seeing me as one of the normal Christians who just acts like everybody else? A basic description of how we would act is, are we exemplifying in our life the teachings of Christ? But it is so much more than that. You have to ask yourself, how are others seeing me? Am I living like I'm taking the Bible seriously? And am I acting different than an unbeliever? If we are to be salt and light, then we must make sure that our salt is not becoming bland and our light is not dimming. Our only chance is if we truly understand the Bible and if we can show others the truth. John B.W. Stott said, "We should not ask what is wrong with the world, for that diagnosis has already been given. Rather, we should ask, what has happened to the salt and light?" One of our biggest problems is that we are always putting ourselves ahead of others, or we at least never put others ahead of us. The Bible says, "God is opposed to the proud, but gives grace to the humble." So you need to ask yourself, am I putting myself in front of others? There are many public figures these days that are proud and haughty and then claim to be Christian. When we are kind and lowly, the world sees something different. But when we are pretentious, the world permeates in everything we do. And that's when people start seeing us as the normal Christians. If people are to see us as different, we must be kind and lowly, and we must not be pretentious. This is one of our biggest mistakes. If we want to show a living example of Christ to all, then we must be lowly. Another big problem is that Christians do not serve God alone, but they must serve God alone because there is no room for anything else. Jesus said, "No one can serve two masters, for either he will hate one and love the other, and he will be devoted to one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and mammon." When Christians are greedy and other things get in the way of God, then you are breaking the first commandment by making something more important than God. Jesus also said, "The Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve and give his life a ransom for many." So it really points back to God's will is for us to serve others. One of the most known yet neglected concepts is the fruit of the Spirit. People always know what they are, but none of them really act them out in their lives. Love, as I already said, we must be serving God and others. Joy, we as Christians must praise God no matter what our circumstances. In Acts 16:25, it says, "At about midnight, Paul and Silas were praising and singing hymns of praise to God, and the prisoners were listening to them." Even those times, people saw Paul and Silas praising God in times of trouble, and they noticed something different about them. Peace. We should always be at peace in our souls, not worrying about the future. Matthew 6:31 says, "Not worry then, saying, what will we eat, or what will we drink, or what will we wear for clothing? God would take care of you. You just have to trust that he will." Patience. in Ephesians 4, 1 and 2, it says, "Therefore I, the prisoner of the Lord, implore you to walk in a manner worthy of the calling of which you have been called, with all humility and gentleness, with patience, showing tolerance for one another in love. If patience is a manner of worth of the calling of which you have been called, then that clearly states that we should be patient." Kindness. This once again points to the first topic, that we must always put others ahead of ours as Jesus did. Goodness. We should not be known for causing trouble as Christians. Although people in our life may annoy us by mocking us, we should never resort to making trouble. Faithfulness. In life, God will not always want you to do what you want to do, but you should still listen to him and trust in him, because he always has the best thing that you can do. Jonah is an example of someone who is not faithful, whose consequences were terrible for him. Gentleness. One of the worst things that a Christian can do is argue to others. We should instead be calm in our disagreements and be gentle and try to understand. Self-control. In our lives, temptation will always be with us. If we are faithful, the Lord can help us overcome our temptations. Next is an issue that much of Christians struggle with. We have to stay away from evil. The Bible says in 1 Corinthians 5:33, "Do not be deceived. Bad company corrupts good morals." In Thessalonians 5:22, it says, "Abstain from every form of evil." It is important that we stay away from evil, because if we are constantly around things that are evil, we will start to see it as normal. We will be more inclined to do it. This doesn't mean that we shouldn't be witnessing to others, but that we must not be treating evil as good. If unbelievers see us as doing bad things, they will think, if that Christian who's going to heaven is fine with doing that, and I'm doing it, I'm not doing too bad. Point five, we must always be doing God's work. Jesus said in Mark 16:15, "Go into all the world and preach the gospel to all creation." In our lives, Christ is our role model, and we should always be ready to witness to the unsaved. Jesus also said in Mark 8:34, "If anybody wishes to come after me, he must deny himself and take up his cross and follow me." This means as Christians, we must be prepared to have the worst things happen to us. Back in biblical times, the cross was known as one of the worst ways to die. And so by taking up our cross, we must be prepared for things as bad as crucifixion to happen to us. This is where most people give up. And a choice between tribulation and Jesus or praise, being praised, people normally choose the latter. In Hebrews, it says, "Fixing our eyes on Jesus, the author and perfecter of faith, who for the joy set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and has sat down at the right hand of the throne of God." We must make sure that Jesus is our focus in life, not wealth. Jesus said that people will not like us. We just always have to trust God and keep our trust in him alone. For us, we must stay true to the faith. We must make sure our salt is not bland. If we give in to the world, then Satan has won. We must be humble as Jesus was. Jesus showed an amazing demonstration of humility just by his birth, being born in a manger, praised by shepherds, the lowliest of all. We must serve Christ alone. If we are the light and salt of the world, then you would think that we would stand out. And we need to be doing God's work. We should never make anything more important than him, but we should always make sure that we are living examples of Christ, and we must examine ourselves. Chris Candish tells a story about how when he was growing up in the United Kingdom, he says, "My family and I could always count on our next door neighbor, Mrs. Ogliv, to be around. We left a spare key with her in case we got locked in. We forgot our keys quite often, and she was always there morning, afternoon, and night to let us in. But there was a problem. Mrs. Ogliv never left her house. She suffered from agoraphobia, the fear of open spaces. Having lived next door to her for 40 years now, he says, I still have never seen her venture past her doorway. She wasn't always this way. She's pictures on her mantelpiece of less anxious days, from her honeymoon with Mr. Ogliv and from a day at the beach with her children. But after her husband died, Mrs. Ogliv began to isolate herself. As an adult, I can only imagine the heavy cloud of fear and frustration that surrounds her. Now frail in the twilight of life, Mrs. Ogliv's curtains are almost always drawn. But now and then, I still get locked out, and as she hands me the spare key, I'm glad to see she's alive. I see parallels between Mrs. Ogliv and most Christians. They observe the world from behind closed curtains and bemoaning culture instead of witnessing to it and trying to help. Many local churches are trying to stay away from the world, though, and that is what we should be doing. They are suffering, though, from a fear of open public space with divergent viewpoints and lifestyles. We must make sure that we are not afraid to go out and show our faith to everyone.